Today is Tuesday, June the 10th, and you are listening to the World Socialist website. Trump escalates coup by sending Marines to Los Angeles. Patrick Martin, Joseph Kissure, June the 9th, 2025. As the week begins, the systematic conspiracy to establish a presidential dictatorship in the United States is rapidly unfolding. In a calculated and ongoing coup d'etat, Donald Trump is creating an entirely new framework of class rule. Developments in Los Angeles are a focal point of a nationwide operation. On Monday, the White House announced that it will send 700 U.S. Marines, the branch of the U.S. military historically associated with ruthless colonial oppression, into the country's second largest city. This follows Trump's Saturday night order to federalize the California National Guard and deploy 2,000 troops under the pretext of protecting federal buildings, including the ICE prison where immigrants rounded up last week are being detained. The Marines are being deployed from the 29 Palms military base in the Mojave Desert, 140 miles east of Los Angeles. The Trump regime has also announced plans to double the numbers of National Guard troops to 4,000. The deployment of active duty Marines marks a major escalation in the effort to normalize the use of military force on American streets. It is a direct violation of the Posse Comitatus Act of 1878, which bars the use of the military for domestic law enforcement. While Trump officials have repeatedly and absurdly referred to the protest in Los Angeles and other cities as a, quote, insurrection, they have so far refrained from invoking the Insurrection Act of 1807. Instead, they are asserting the president's supposed inherent authority to deploy troops within the United States. Trump Saturday's proclamation federalizing the National Guard makes no mention of Los Angeles or California. Instead, it instructs Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth to consult with, quote, the governors of the states, and authorizes him to, quote, deploy any other members of the regular armed forces as needed to protect federal property, in any number determined appropriate in his discretion, end of quote. In other words, unlimited numbers of troops in any location in the country. A New York Times article published Monday quotes Corey Sharker from the right-wing American Enterprise Institute, who noted, quote, the Trump administration is test-driving a novel legal theory that you can circumvent the restrictions on domestic law enforcement by the American military, end of quote. Today, Trump is scheduled to visit Fort Bragg, the massive army base in North Carolina, to deliver remarks on the occasion of the 250th anniversary of the U.S. Army. This will be Trump's first visit to the base since returning to office in January. He will be accompanied by Hegseth, one of the most fascistic figures in his administration, who is helping to oversee the coup operations. The events marking the anniversary will culminate in a massive military mobilization on the streets of Washington, D.C. this Saturday, June the 14th, when more than 7,000 troops, backed by hundreds of tanks and armored vehicles, will take part in a parade coinciding with Trump's 79th birthday. A convoy of tanks transported by train has already begun arriving in the nation's capital. The coincidence of Trump's personal birthday celebration with the massive military parade is not incidental. Trump is seeking to establish what amounts to a Führer Prinzip within the American military, a command structure rooted not in the Constitution or civilian oversight, but in personal loyalty to him. The army in this framework is presented as his army. In Nazi Germany, military officers were required to swear an oath not to the German state, but directly to Adolf Hitler. A new political framework is being established in America in which the federal government operates outside any legal restraint, carrying out actions that are not only unprecedented in scope, but brazenly illegal and unconstitutional. Those who criticize or oppose these actions, whether in political office, the courts, law firms, the media, or through protests in the streets, will face the repressive power of the capitalist state. The arrest of David Huerta, president of the SEIU California, a union representing 700,000 largely Latino and immigrant service and public sector workers, reveals the essential class and fascistic character of the unfolding coup. Huerta was jailed over the weekend and released on $50,000 bail, facing felony charges for allegedly attempting to block the movement of an ICE vehicle. This is not merely a crackdown on immigrants or protesters, but a drive to obliterate the democratic rights of the working class as a whole. Neither the SEIU nor the AFL-CIO called for mass protests, let alone strike action to demand Huerta's release and the dropping of all charges. The AFL-CIO's only official response has been to issue a pitiful appeal for its 14 million members to write letters to Congress. If the union bureaucrats will do nothing to defend one of their own, what can rank-and-file workers expect if they fall victim to Trump's police-military assault? Trump and his inner circle, Hegseth, White House Deputy Chief of Staff Stephen Miller, DHS Secretary Kristi Noem, Attorney General Pam Bondi, and FBI Director Kash Patel, constitute a fascist junta in the making. But neither the Democratic Party nor the corporate media will state openly what is taking place. It is a coup, but they dare not speak its name. Even as Trump calls for the arrest of prominent Democrats like California's Governor Gavin Newsom for his supposed resistance. The Washington Post, owned by billionaire Jeff Bezos, gave the response of dominant sections of the corporate oligarchy. In an editorial published Monday, the Post refused to identify Trump's actions as a coup, instead blaming, quote, both sides for escalating tensions. While mildly criticizing Trump's use of the Marines, the editorial justifies the use of federal force to, quote, restore order, defends the president's legal authority to send troops into American cities, and urges, quote, unruly protesters to take the off-ramp, end of quote. A relentless logic of escalation is now at work. The further Trump goes, the more he stakes his presidency and his own political survival on the success of the operation. In this situation, the most abject and bankrupt policy would be to rely on the Democratic Party, the courts, or the trade union bureaucracy to take action to block Trump's coup d'etat. Within Congress, there is no demand for Trump's removal. The Democratic Party is doing nothing. The Democrats will not even say publicly what they all know privately. The events in Los Angeles represent a giant step towards the establishment of a presidential dictatorship. Their appeals are not directed to the working class, but to Republican members of Congress, and even to officials within the Trump administration itself. Governor Newsom, for his part, has responded to Trump's threats to arrest him personally by pledging the deployment of 800 more police to the streets of Los Angeles, where they are presently engaged in a riot against protesters. The onslaught now unfolding is the mechanism through which the ruling oligarchy intends to enforce its interests. The vast and ever-growing levels of social inequality in America are incompatible with democratic forms of rule. While immigrants are on the front lines of this assault, the attack is aimed at the entire working class. There is growing opposition throughout the country to Trump's unfolding coup, but as yet it remains spontaneous and politically unorganized. This must change. The working class, the vast majority of the population, has the power to stop it. As a statement of the Socialist Equality Party National Committee and the WSWS editorial board published yesterday explained, quote, the necessity of a general strike is becoming ever clearer, but such action will not emerge spontaneously. It must be prepared and led through the building of democratic fighting organizations of the working class, end of quote. Trump's actions in Los Angeles have already provoked protest actions throughout the country and widespread anger among tens of millions of working people. What is necessary now is to give these growing mass sentiments a concrete and organized form. We reiterate the call issued by the Socialist Equality Party and the WSWS. The initiative must come from below. Rank-and-file committees must be established in every factory, workplace, and neighborhood to prepare the basis for a mass resistance. Emergency meetings must be convened in plants, schools, and offices across the country to organize collective action and build a powerful counteroffensive by the working class. Thank you. Nationwide protests multiply against fascist ICE raids and military deployment in Los Angeles. Jacob Cross, June 9, 2025. On Monday, dozens of protests were held across the United States against the Trump administration's fascist deportation operation and its ongoing efforts to establish a military dictatorship. For the fourth day in a row, significant and sustained protests continued in Los Angeles County, the most populous county in the United States. In Baltimore, Maryland, over 100 people peacefully marched in opposition to the immigration Gestapo and the deployment of California National Guard soldiers to Los Angeles. In solidarity with workers and their families in Los Angeles, Baltimore area protesters chanted "ICE out of LA" and carried signs denouncing ICE and calling for due process and equal protection for all. The peaceful character of Monday's protests has not prevented police from instigating violence, as they have on previous days. In New York City, hundreds of people are rallying outside an ICE facility located at 26 Federal Plaza. Video taken by on-the-ground journalists shows New York Police Department NYPD thugs snatching people off the sidewalk. Outside the federal building in Los Angeles, National Guard soldiers and police in riot gear have begun pushing and shoving away crowds of mostly young people. Police have also begun firing, quote, less lethal rounds and CS gas at the crowd. As of this writing, some 1,000 people are still protesting outside the federal building at 300 N Los Angeles Street. Primary tenants of the building include U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement, ICE, U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services, USCIS, and the Internal Revenue Service, the IRS. The federal building is adjacent to the Edward R. Roebel Federal Building, where an unknown number of immigrants remain detained in the basement after being kidnapped by ICE thugs. On Monday, Service Employees International Union, SEIU, President David Huerta, who was also being held in that building, was released on a $50,000 bond. Huerta was assaulted and detained by ICE agents on June the 6th during an immigration raid on a garment warehouse in the Fashion District. He has been charged with conspiracy to impede an officer, a felony. SEIU organized protests in several other cities, including New York City, Harrisburg and Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, Boston, Massachusetts, Seattle, Washington, Washington, D.C., and Los Angeles, in an expression of the social chasm between the union bureaucracy and the workers it claims to represent. Most SEIU protests drew only a few hundred people, despite the union boasting a membership of over 2 million. The largest SEIU organized protest by far was held in Los Angeles. Estimates vary, but at least a few hundred people, if not over 1,000, attended. Notably, The Guardian reported that only, quote, a sole Los Angeles police helicopter hovered overhead, but otherwise law enforcement was entirely absent from the SEIU protest. While police were absent, nearly every SEIU protest featured a bevy of trade union bureaucrats and Democratic Party politicians to fill the void. In Seattle, Representative Pramila Jayapal addressed the crowd, while Representative Jesus Chuy Garcia spoke in Chicago. Speakers denounced the Trump administration's tactics while remaining silent on the decades-long bipartisan campaign to arm and fund the immigration Gestapo. As federal funding for education, food programs, Medicaid and Medicare is set to be slashed, an analysis published last month by Stefan Semler found that funding for ICE increased every year under both the Biden and Trump administrations between 2016 and 2025. Semler found that under Trump, ICE's budget increased by $1.8 billion, about 7% per year, while under Biden it rose by $1.6 billion, or about 5% per year. While Trump and his fascist conspirators in the Republican Party and media have justified the deployment of military forces on the grounds that there is an ongoing violent, quote, invasion in Los Angeles County by immigrants, the reality is that the only invaders and occupying force are the militarized federal agents working in conjunction with local police and sheriff departments, who are targeting longtime residents, workers, and their families at work, in immigration court and outside schools. Speaking to Reuters journalists outside the federal building on Monday, Seven Johnson, an 18-year-old born and raised in Los Angeles, said he came to protest to, quote, stop ICE, stop the deportations. Johnson said this fight was part of, quote, one struggle, liberation for all. We are here to fight for everybody because I love my people. We are no different from Palestinians, from people in the Congo or Sudan, end of quote. Logan Castillo, also 18, said he had been at the protest in downtown Los Angeles both yesterday and today. He said, quote, we are here to get the message out and make it clear. We are not okay with the fact that people are going into homes and kidnapping people. He added, this is bigger than one person. This is the community getting together, end of quote. A 16-year-old named Cloud told Reuters, quote, we are Donald Trump's worst nightmare. We are not rioters. We are not looters. We do not want the Gestapo in our neighborhood. Cloud added, quote, solidarity is what it's all about. Today it is mostly youth. Yesterday it was many adults. We don't want our classmates deported, he concluded. Kylie Vincent, 25, a stand-up comedian, said she came to the protest because, quote, it's very clear we don't need the National Guard here. We are sick of Trump. They are taking families away. We just want to be left alone. America is really a scary place right now. The only thing that gives us hope is being here together. A resident of Los Angeles who wished to remain anonymous told the World Socialist website, I feel sick. I'm a Latina living in LA. And seeing troops patrolling our streets under the excuse of keeping order, it doesn't feel like safety. It feels like history repeating itself. Chile, Argentina, Brazil, Mexico. My people have lived through this kind of military repression, and now it's here. What's happening here isn't about stopping violence. It's about shutting us up. The government is labeling peaceful protest as, quote, insurrection, arresting union leaders, and preparing to use actual Marines against citizens. This isn't just creeping fascism, it's fascism kicking down the door. Meanwhile, Democrats, progressive leaders are just writing concerned press releases. No real plan, no real resistance, just empty words. End of quote. Trump begins new travel ban. Kevin Reed, June 9, 2025. On Monday, the Trump administration implemented a new travel ban, barring citizens from 12 countries from entering the US and imposing partial restrictions on 7 more. The White House said the proclamation behind the ban is a response to the June 1 attack at a Boulder, Colorado event related to Israeli hostages. The World Socialist website unequivocally condemns this latest attack on the democratic rights of millions, which revives and expands the notorious Muslim ban of Trump's first term. The new travel ban is part of Trump's demonization of immigrants and is an integral part of the ongoing raids, mass detentions and deportations of migrant workers within the US. The pretext for the new ban was the firebombing of a rally in Boulder, Colorado, by 45-year-old Egyptian Mohammed Soliman, where demonstrators had gathered to call for the release of Israeli hostages in Gaza. Soliman had overstayed his US tourist visa and his work permit had expired. In the days following the June 1 attack, the White House moved quickly to exploit the event and tied it directly to the need for new restrictions on immigration. In a video released on June the 4th, Trump declared, quote, the recent terror attack in Boulder, Colorado has highlighted the severe risks posed to our nation by the entry of foreign nationals who have not undergone adequate vetting, as well as those who visit temporarily and overstay their visas. We do not want them here. Trump's proclamation issued the same day claimed the ban is necessary to, quote, protect the United States from foreign terrorists and other national security and public safety threats, end of quote. The implementation of the new travel ban is already having profound and devastating effects on families, refugees, and immigrant communities in the United States and abroad. For many immigrants and refugees, the most immediate and painful consequence is the forced separation from loved ones. In Detroit, for example, members of the Yemeni community are now unable to reunite with family members still living in Yemen. Abdo Al-Wajir, a Yemeni immigrant who has lived in Michigan since 2000, described the anguish of being cut off from his wife and children. Quote, "I miss them," he said, explaining that he now fears returning to Yemen because he may not be able to re-enter the U.S. "It's sad," Al-Wajir added, voicing a sentiment echoed by countless others facing indefinite separation from spouses, children, and parents. A similar story comes from Burmese immigrants, some of whom waited over 15 years to bring siblings to the U.S. to escape civil war, only to see those hopes dashed overnight by the new restrictions. Quote, "It's incredibly frustrating since we were so close to securing their safety from that situation," one family member said, describing the ban as if a, quote, "rug was pulled out from under us in an instant," end of quote. Rights groups have warned that the ban will have dire humanitarian consequences, especially for people fleeing war, persecution, or natural disasters. The International Rescue Committee, the IRC, highlighted that the ban targets many countries on its 2025 emergency watch list for humanitarian emergencies. The IRC stated, quote, "This action will have far-reaching impacts both in the US and abroad, preventing American families from reunifying with their loved ones, including the spouses and children of permanent residents, and could leave persecuted religious minorities and other refugees in danger." The ban provides very limited exceptions, such as for Afghan special immigrant visa holders and certain persecuted minorities from Iran, but most refugees and asylum seekers are excluded, even in urgent humanitarian cases. This means that people who have already endured years of waiting and vetting may now be left in limbo or forced to remain in dangerous conditions. Human Rights First called the ban a return to divisive and racist policies to target entire populations, warning that it will harm refugees, asylum seekers, and other vulnerable populations, including many who have been waiting to reunite with loved ones in our country. Amnesty International condemned the ban as, quote, "discriminatory, racist, and downright cruel." Secretary General Agnes Callamard said, quote, "By targeting people based on their race, religion, or nationality from countries with predominantly black, brown, and Muslim majority populations, this blanket ban constitutes racial discrimination under international human rights law." With the right to seek asylum already non-existent at US borders, it will further inflict terrible suffering on people who are fleeing war-torn regions, massive human rights violations and other dangerous situations, and seeking safety in the United States. End of quote. Trump's June the 4th proclamation titled, quote, "Restricting the entry of foreign nationals to protect the United States from foreign terrorists and other national security and public safety threats," bars entry for both immigrants and non-immigrants from the following 12 countries: Afghanistan, Burma, Myanmar, Chad, Republic of the Congo, Equatorial Guinea, Eritrea, Haiti, Iran, Libya, Somalia, Sudan, and Yemen. The order also imposes restrictions on citizens of 7 additional countries, suspending or limiting certain visa categories from Burundi, Cuba, Laos, Sierra Leone, Togo, Turkmenistan, and Venezuela. Trump's proclamation further states, "The entry into the United States of nationals of the above-listed countries as immigrants or non-immigrants is thereby suspended, subject to exceptions and waivers as provided herein. This action is based on the determination that the conditions in these countries, ranging from presence of terrorist organizations, inadequate passport and identity management, high visa overstay rates, and a lack of cooperation in accepting the return of their nationals, pose a threat to the national security and public safety of the United States." The ban took effect at 12:01 a.m. on June the 9th. Visas issued before that date are not revoked, but all new applications are denied unless they meet narrow exemption criteria. Notably, Egypt, the country of origin of the alleged Boulder attacker, Soleiman, is not among the nations subject to the ban. This glaring contradiction exposes the political and arbitrary character of the measure. When questioned about the exclusion of Egypt, Trump justified it by citing the close relationship between Washington and Cairo. Egypt has been a country that we engage with closely. They have stability. The nations we're concerned about do not. This statement makes clear that the travel ban is not about threats to national security, but about advancing the geopolitical interests of U.S. imperialism and targeting countries that are either vulnerable or have been designated as enemies. In his June the 4th video and subsequent remarks, Trump repeatedly tied the new ban to the Boulder attack, declaring, "We will not permit individuals who intend to harm us to enter our country, and nothing will deter us from ensuring America's safety. The list is open to changes based on whether significant improvements are made, and likewise new nations can be included as threats develop globally." End of quote. The White House and Department of Homeland Security have attempted to justify the ban by citing, quote, "inadequate vetting, high visa overstay rates, and lack of cooperation on deportations." However, these claims are recycled from the Trump administration's previous efforts to scapegoat immigrants and whip up xenophobia within the U.S. public as part of its fascist agenda. The June 2025 proclamation is a revival and expansion of the infamous Muslim ban that Trump first implemented in January 2017, just days after taking office. That executive order, which initially targeted 7 Muslim-majority countries, sparked massive protests at airports across the U.S. and was repeatedly challenged in the courts before being upheld in a revised form by the Supreme Court in 2018. While the Biden administration rescinded the original ban in 2021, it covered up the reasons for it with its own version of securing the borders to the U.S. Trump's new order, however, not only restores but extends the policy, targeting a broader swathe of nations, many of them in Africa and the Middle East, and many with majority Muslim populations. The World Socialist website has consistently opposed these bans as unconstitutional, racist, and reactionary. On January 28, 2017, we wrote, "The Trump administration's travel ban is a frontal assault on the most basic democratic rights. It is an attempt to divide the working class along national and religious lines and to build up the machinery of a police state under the pretext of fighting terrorism. The real aim is to create a climate of fear and to justify the escalation of war abroad and repression at home." For these articles and more, go to the World Socialist website, wsws.org. For the World Socialist website, this has been Carol Diviak.
The World Socialist website is published by the International Committee of the Fourth International, the ICFI, the leadership of the World Socialist Movement, the Fourth International founded by Leon Trotsky in 1938. The World Socialist website relies entirely on the donations of readers and listeners for financial support. To give to the WSWS or to set up a regular monthly contribution, go to wsws.org/donate. We urge our listeners to join the International Committee of the Fourth International and one of its affiliated political parties and take up the struggle for socialism.